So I hope you aren't too mad at me for being late. No? Oh, that's good. No, I'll be late again tomorrow. Hopefully not. So nice to see that you've settled into a kind of more organic arrangement of sitting mass. This is interesting. Okay. So what we might do is begin with some guided meditation. Would you like to do that? Yes? You like? Would you prefer to do guided meditation or unguided meditation? Who wants to do guided meditation? Right, okay. So what you're telling me is that you need somebody to be telling you what to do all the time, otherwise you can't do it. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? Okay, so we'll do some guided meditation now. For the retreat, I'll be teaching some metta meditation, but for today, we'll just spend another day or two just settling down and practicing mindfulness. And I want you to, I'll give some meditation instructions, but I don't want you to just do what I say. If you're happy with whatever meditation you've been doing, then keep doing that. That's fine. And if you want to try the practices that I'm teaching here, then take them up and try them. But don't completely abandon what you've been doing before. You can do some of the practice I'm doing and then some of the meditation you've been doing before. The only thing to be careful of is that just try not to mix up different meditations at the same time, right? So think of meditation techniques as being a bit like a recipe. So you might have a recipe for lasagna and another recipe for fried noodles, and they're both perfectly good, but you don't want to mix them up too much, right? So you want to make sure that you've got the right ingredients with the right thing. And there's a reason why meditation methods are taught in the way that they are. Each method, each approach has its own set of checks and balances. The reason why a certain thing is done in a certain way. And when you're just learning the method, then it's good to just do that, and then gradually you'll figure that out, why this is done in a particular way. When you know what you're doing, then it doesn't really matter, you can do whatever you like. And you'll understand how the meditation is supposed to proceed. But when you're just learning it, it's always best to just try to just follow and see what happens. Okay, so now we're going to meditate. We're going to do some guided meditation for maybe 30 minutes or so. And in that 30 minutes, I will lead you in a straight bare, what they call bare awareness, or simple mindfulness practice. And this will be similar to if any of you have done like any kind of vipassana or mahasi technique or something like that. It'll be kind of similar to that, but a little bit of its own flavor. And when I'm doing this, this is a prerequisite for doing metta meditation. So when doing metta meditation, you shouldn't just sort of plunge into it, but you should make sure that you understand where your mind is at. Okay, that's really the purpose of this practice. We're just at the beginning of the retreat. We're not doing like a kind of deep insight practice or anything like that. What we're doing is we're being aware and trying to understand what is our mind like. One of the things that I find is that meditators often are oddly incurious about what's going on in their own minds. And meditators tend to think that whatever's happening in their minds is just a distraction. Other people think of that as their life. And if you think of your thoughts and your emotions and your memories and all of those things as a distraction, then you're thinking of yourself and your life and what matters to you as being a distraction. There's something that seems a bit wrong there, doesn't it? Shouldn't we be thinking when thoughts are happening in our mind, what's going on is that our mind, part of ourself, is trying to talk to us. It's trying to tell us what matters to us. Our mind is communicating with itself. And rather than thinking of what the mind is saying as being a distraction, wouldn't it be healthier to think of what your mind is saying as something that you can listen to, something you can learn from, something you can have compassion for? And what you tend to find is that the more that you, when there are voices that want to be heard, the more you try to squash them down, then the louder they will shout. And then we wonder why these voices keep going. Think about what happens when governments try to censor things. Right? Somebody posts something, some government doesn't like it, so they ban it. And then, of course, everyone posts it twice as much. And everyone publishes news stories about it. And no one would have paid any attention if they just let it be. Right? But it's that act of repressing it and trying to get rid of it that makes it dangerous, makes it something which is a threat. So rather than thinking of your own mind as a threat, think of your own mind as your friend, as your family. If it's talking to you, you listen, you pay attention. Ah, okay. Then when it's had something to say, it'll naturally become quiet because it doesn't need to talk anymore. This is the way to real peace of mind. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to do a meditation, a bare awareness meditation, but we're not going to be trying to get rid of our thoughts, we're going to be trying to listen to them and see what lies behind them. Okay, so let's meditate. Sitting quietly. Take the time to just let your mind settle back into your body.
moving your awareness through the different parts of the body, slowly and gently scanning through, and just checking what the different feelings are in your body. Whenever your mind starts to think about this and that, and bring your awareness to it, oh, okay, that's what I'm thinking about. That's where my mind is going right now. And take a minute to listen to what your mind is saying. Just let it go. Come back to the silence. start to become quiet and settle into the meditation. Notice that inside yourself there's some kind of feeling, some kind of emotion. Maybe quite a neutral feeling, maybe a happy feeling, maybe anxious, depressed. Who knows? Maybe it's something that's familiar to you, you can identify easily. Maybe it's something strange, you don't quite know what it is. Feelings and emotions are elusive, hard to pin down. It's not something that you can like pinpoint and know exactly, ah, this is what that is. But it's more just something that you get a sense for. You have to know what your feelings are, you have to step back a little bit. Not focus so sharply like you would if you're looking at a, say, physical sensation. It's much more defined. And feeling is more like an energy in the body, partly physical. Sometimes you can locate it in a particular part of your body, maybe in the belly or the chest or wherever. Other times, it doesn't really seem to have a place, but wherever you experience it, and however you experience it, feelings and emotions have this quality of colouring and shaping everything that you do, everything that you feel, everything that you think. as you become aware of what that feeling is, then just accept it. Know it for what it is. Whether it's a good feeling or a bad feeling, it's part of who you are. It's okay, it's just a feeling, it's just an emotion. It will pass. Know it, be aware of it, accept it, let it go. Okay, so now coming near to the end of the meditation. I want you to reflect back over what we've just done together. And ask yourself what kind of journey you've been on for this past half an hour or so. Where did you start out? What was it like as you went on? And how is your mind now? And finally, we can dedicate the merit of our practice. May all beings be happy, may all beings be well, may all beings find safety and peace. Sadhu.